Tonight we're going to talk about this spiritual practice, study, but not in the way you think. Last few weeks we've talked about these important aspects of our spiritual practices in order to help us to become formed into the image of Jesus and put us in a position where we can start doing the things that we've been talking about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And living the best life that He wants us to, and getting into this relationship with God where He can work those things out through us. We've talked about discipline of sleep, or the practice of sleep, which I hope you're doing good in. Silence. Last week we talked about solitude. Anybody got anything you want to share from your experience this week in spending any time alone? Anything that you learned? Anything that you experienced?
Proverbs 3, I was looking at 5 and 6 as we're in our Bible study. But then up at verse 2, I think, or 3, it says, do not let kindness or truth leave you. And that really, Lord, really been working with me on that. So that was good.
Anybody else? Anybody find it hard to practice that? No? Yes? Okay. Why? What was the, just too much going on in your life? Okay. People? Okay. All right, and again, all these, again, I hope you start incorporating these things into your life. And remember, these are not laws or rules or new commandments or anything like that. And remember what I told you last week. How do you know when you start when you're getting legalistic about it?
Guilty.
If you feel guilty when you don't do it. If you feel guilty when you don't do it, you know you become legalistic about it. So don't get to that position. Don't get to that place. These are means of grace. That's what they are. They're just channels through which God can funnel grace to us for us to experience the grace that He's imparted to us and given to us. So the one we're going to talk about tonight, there's two prongs to it. And we'll talk about the other one next week, is this aspect of study. And this was an interesting Latin word called lectio divina. And that simply means this. It means divine reading. It is a way to read the scriptures, interacting with God as you read them. It's more of a learning how to commune with God through the Word of God and interact with Him that way. This practice was something that was done regularly by the early church and in the early centuries of the church. One of the things that's important and why it was done that way, because remember back then, they didn't have Bibles like we've got them today. And no, people didn't run around with copies of the scripture. A lot of places, they may have had, we've talked about this in the past, they may have had a letter or two from Paul. If there was a Jewish, any kind of contingent of Jewish people in an area where there was big enough to have a synagogue, they may have a copy of the law, the prophets, if that, or just portions of it. So people weren't running around with scriptures, but what they would do is they would, if they had a reader, this person would read portions of scripture and do it in such a way that the people would begin to commit these scriptures to their memories. They would be, in these, I'm not talking about educated people, I'm talking about illiterate people. They begin to commit the scriptures to their memories, and they would hear it frequently enough. They might not be able to quote it verbatim, but they would have the gist of it known enough where they could take this with them and think upon it. And it's kind of what David here, the Jewish people had been practicing this for a long time, even up before, Jesus showed up. The rabbis and the teachers of the law, they used to do something called Shema. And what they would do is they would read a portion of scripture and a passage out of the Hebrew Bible, and they would, as they would read it, they would concentrate on specific pauses or words in the passages they were reading, and they would stop there, and they would do what David talks about here in verse 2 of Psalm 1, talking about the man whose delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. That means he's bringing God's word to the forefront of his mind. And remember, we talked about this is the whole key of all of these spiritual practices, is to keep that which is the most beautiful thing in all of creation, the person of Christ, God, in the forefront of your mind, helping you to do this. And David says he's thinking upon the words of God. He's meditating on it. He's chewing it. He's pondering it. And this is what the Jews had practiced for a long time. You'll notice, as we've talked about before, when you go through the Psalms, you'll see that little term, Selah. And you'll notice that's exactly what that is. It is a pause to stop and to reflect on what has just been said. Think about it. Take your time. Don't rush. Don't hurry on from here so you can say you've read, you know, the whole Psalm or whatever. Think about the truth that you've just been exposed to in your hearing from someone else reading it to you. Think about it. Ponder it. So this is something that the early church and believers early on practice on a regular basis. This has to do with you and I listening to the Scripture, not just reading it. There's a big difference between the two. We can read a lot of Scripture and not listen to it as we're reading it. Not pay attention to really what it's saying. And the kind of study I'm talking about right now is not the kind of study where you get in there and you get a concordance out and commentaries out and word study books. This is more of devotional kind of reflection between you and God as you're reading a passage of Scripture. It helps us move from a level of acquaintance with God into a deep friendship with Him. Where we're interacting in as a friend to friend, and we're communicating. He's communicating with me by His Spirit within me. When you take, and we'll see how you do this in a little bit, but there's a process that the Holy Spirit dwelling within us takes us through as we interact with Scripture this way. And most of the time, what we're talking about may only be one verse. It may only be even a sentence or two in a verse, or even one word in a verse that the Holy Spirit brings to your attention that you begin to ponder and think about. You start out from a position of rest, you know, quietly sitting yourself down, preparing your soul to interact with God. You engage with a passage of Scripture and you take some time to reflect on what you've read. And we'll see how you do that in just a little bit. That reflection should lead you to some sort of response to it. That response could be anything. It may be something that you are called by God to go out and do. It may be something that God's wanting to do within you. Something you need to respond to personally. Something that you may need to respond to with simply an act of worship toward God because of what He says to you. But it's going to elicit some sort of response from you to Him, which in turn brings you back, once you're settled on what the response needs to be, to a position of resting on the inside, where this you're enjoying this fellowship and this communion with God. In the process of it, the Holy Spirit leads us to be attentive to words, like I said, or to phrases that reveal some truth to us about God, about life, about our relationship with Him, about ourselves. It's not entered into to get information. Again, you're not getting into this, reading it, so you can come out and tell people what you've discovered as far as information from studying the Bible. But it's entered into for you and I to get insight. Insight into the nature and character of God. Insight into ourselves. Insight into our life and into life in general. And it's not done to learn something new. The whole goal of this, as is the goal of everything that Holy Spirit does within us, is to encounter Jesus within. To encounter Jesus within. Now I want you to stop and think about that again. In the Old Covenant, if anybody wanted to go encounter God, where'd they have to go? Temple. They had to go to Jerusalem to the temple. That was their mindset anyway. That wasn't true, but that was the way things were communicated. You had to go to the temple and that was where you could go encounter with God. In that temple, remember, there was three places. There was outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. What's interesting is, and I haven't done a lot much research, but I was looking at some stuff about it this week, that the Jews believed that from the Holy of Holies out from there to the outer court, there are seven specific things. There's a progression there of the different objects that are in there that reveal the significant days of creation. That everything flows out from the Holy of Holies as God the Creator has created all things. But this is one thing that's interesting. When God created the Holy of Holies, this is what He told them. He said, when he told them how to make it, told them what to put in there, the Ark of the Covenant and everything, He said this statement. He said, "There I will meet with you." You translate this now over into the New Covenant in the New Testament, and Paul in 1 Corinthians tells us that we now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We now are the Holy of Holies. There I will meet with you. Here. Not in a building on Sunday morning. Not in some big stadium where a bunch of people are, where God will meet with us there. God says, you are the place. You are my dwelling place. Right within you is where I'm going to meet you. I want to meet with you. I want to commune with you. So the goal of Lectio Divina is for you to encounter God within. And to experience His presence within you. Not to learn something new. It leads us, as we learn how to interact with Scripture, it leads us to a conversation with God that is unstructured. It's not a planned conversation. It's unstructured, like two lovers coming together, you know, two people who are in love with each other. They don't sit down before they get together and plot out what their conversation is going to be. They don't say, we're going to discuss point A, point B, point C. They're not going to write it out. The conversation flows. It's spontaneous because it is in the context of two people enjoying one another's company, delighting in each other, and sharing with each other whatever is on their heart in a very free-flowing, unstructured way. So many times when we pray, we come with an agenda. We come with a structure. I mean, look, you can go to the bookstores today and you can read books on prayer and they'll all have. Now, these are the things you need to be doing in prayer. You need to have praise. You need to have thanksgiving. You need to have intercession. You need to have supplication. You need to have confession. They're structuring prayer. So we got a little checklist to go through to make sure we've done all these things in our conversation with God. And if you look at it, it's always normally one-sided conversation. And if at all, then you stop at the end, give time a little bit, God a little bit of time to get a word in edgewise. Because you've spilled out all the things you wanted to spill out to Him. You've told Him all, and you feel good, your conscience is soothed, you know, you've done your little checklist, but it's not a free-flowing conversation and interaction with God. And this is what this is. It is a conversation that's unstructured and it's unplanned. It's kind of like when it starts, when you begin to engage in this, it's like sitting in front of a fireplace and you've got a good fire going and you're enjoying that fire. The worst thing you could do when that fire is burning, the flames are going well, it's the heat and the warmth is coming off of it. The worst thing you could do when it's at that stage is to run out, go get a big fat log and throw it on top of it, right? Because what's going to happen to that fire? It's going to go out. It's going to go down. You're not going to be able to enjoy it. A lot of people, when they start to engage with God in conversation like that, they go out and they go throw big fat logs on it. They get an agenda, or they misunderstand what this is all about. We're going to get information, more information on top. On what God wants us to do is to sit there quietly and linger in front of the fire and enjoy the moment with Him. Just enjoy the flame. Enjoy the encounter. If nothing is said, but there's a conscious awareness within you of His presence, He's there. Not out there. He's here within you. And He gets strengthened. You see, here's something that a lot of people don't understand. Our communion with God gets stronger when it gets simpler. Not more difficult, but when it gets simpler. The universe tells us that. How does it tell us that? Well, if you look at the structure of all things, flesh is made up of cells, and then you go down to you got blood, but then you start breaking the cells down, you go down to what? You go down to little atoms, then you go down to these molecules, and then you get beyond that, and you go down to these little things called quarks, and then ultimately you get down to these little things that are strings. What's the strongest force in that whole process? The cells of the body or the little strings at the very base of it? The very foundation, the strings, the simple things, the beginning structures. And our relationship with God and our conversation and our communion with Him gets stronger when it becomes more simple and childlike. Not when it becomes more difficult, more religious looking, or any of those things. You see, God has a divine way for you and I to be the persons that we are. Think about that. He has a divine way for me and you to be me and you. A unique way. It's God's way for you to be you. God's way for me to be me. And when I'm interacting with Him in this process and these things are becoming a part of my life, He, through His Spirit, is in the process of helping me to discover that and to begin to live my unique place in this world God's way out. Not religion's way, not what religion tells me I need to be doing, or not what other people are who are trying to write a script for my life, try to tell me what to do. It's God. And He wants me to become the me that He created me to be. And we end up being able to live what people would classify as ordinary lives, but with extraordinary love. And that's the kind of life that makes a difference in this world. It's not the people that are the, you know, everybody knows who they are and they're the big shot superstar kind of things. It's the ordinary people who are demonstrating extraordinary love. God is not interested in playing in games and He's not interested in trying to reveal Himself and making superstars. He's interested in revealing Himself in the ordinary, simple things of life to the world around us. And what happens is we learn how to interact with Him in this way, and we read Scripture in this manner. It helps us in this process that God speaks to us. And He speaks to every level of our being. He speaks to our mind. Sometimes the words that He speaks to us will affect our emotions. Sometimes they'll stir us. They'll excite us. Sometimes they'll bring us to tears. Sometimes it'll bring a burden to us of compassion for someone or something that's going on. They will affect our will. Because He, by His Spirit, will be moving us to say, okay, there's something I need to respond to here and do. That God's calling me to do through this word that He is speaking to me. Now, whole books have been written. I mean, you can go back and a lot of writers have written whole books on this whole process here. I'm just giving you, like, you know, Cliff Note version real quick, because it's basic and it's simple. It's not difficult, but it is so important. The Bible will become a different book to you when you start learning how to interact with it that way. And again, the Bible, we would say, is inspired, but not all of it carries the same weight. Wouldn't you agree that the New Covenant carries a little bit more weight than the old one? Sure it does. And there are passages when we're reading historical things, that's good and that's fine. But then we get over here to practical ways of living over here in the New Testament. That carries a little bit more weight to it. And so there are important passages and things, and we'll look at some of those, talk about some of those next week, that I hope that over you'll start trying to work through, pray through, interact with. Some simple ones. 5 or 6 passages of Scripture. A couple in the Old Testament, but primarily some in the New Testament. Some of Paul's letters. You know, short little sections to just begin to work through. That I guarantee you, if you will begin to practice these things and learn how to do this with them and interact with them, you'll spend, just in these passages alone, you can spend a year interacting with them. Easily. Never reading another portion of the Bible. And there ain't going to be anything wrong with that. If you want to, that's fine. What I'm saying is learning how to interact with these portions and watch God work within you transformation. Change. Because what you're doing through this, again, it's not you changing yourself. It's you putting yourself in a position to be changed. He works the change. He does the transforming. He does the conforming of your life to Jesus. You're availing yourself to these means of grace. You're availing yourself to these practices to say, here I am. Change me. Work in me. I want to experience the life you've got for me, and I want to be the me you created me to be. I want to walk the divine life that you've made for me to walk in this world. I want to do that. So, in just to get started in it, here's a couple little practical things, all right? Number one, first thing you need to do, select yourself a passage of Scripture. And again, don't say, oh, chapter 10 of Matthew. Maybe one verse, 2 or 3 verses. Some people, I know some people will like, say, oh, 23rd Psalm. Okay, 23rd, that's a good one. That's not a bad one. I'll share something with you from that in a minute. 23rd Psalm is not a bad one. But find yourself a passage of Scripture, okay? Then, before you even start, you've got an open Bible, and get a Bible that you understand. Get a Bible that you can relate to. I don't care what translation it is. You know, I mean, I don't care if it's the Good News Bible, if it's the Living Bible, if it's a, you know, if it's a NIV, whatever. Get one that you can understand and you're comfortable with. Sit down somewhere in silence, alone, and sit still and quiet for a few minutes. Just get quiet and settle yourself in your soul. Close your eyes. As we talked about a few weeks ago, listen to yourself, breathe a little bit. Kenny's, you know, thing about the phrase Yahweh in breathing, you know, it's very natural. I like to do that. He mentioned that, something that I like to do when I'm sitting there and I'm just quiet. I just sit there and Yahweh. Yahweh. Just quietly. Because what I'm doing, I'm trying to just take my attention off and just focus on my Father, on God within me. So I'm sitting quiet. I've got a passage. When you've got your passage of Scripture, whatever, if it's 2 or 3 verses, first thing you do is read through that passage very slowly. Pausing as you're reading it between clauses or words where there's breaks. You know, you take again, you like to take 1 Corinthians 13 about love. You know, love is patient. Stop and settle with that for a minute. Love is kind. You know, don't love is patient, love is kind, blah, blah, blah. Or the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, give yourself some time to listen to what you're reading. And there's nothing wrong if you want to read it out loud. Sometimes that's a good thing to do, to read it verbally out loud. There is your interacting with it. After you read that passage, if it's 2, 3, 4 verses, whatever, sit quietly for a few minutes. Think about what you've just read. All right? Then go through it a second time, reading it like that. Pausing again between some of the phrases that may, you know, becoming aware of words now that you're reading. Love is patient. Patient. Love is patient. Love is. That's what love is. patient. See, start thinking about it. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. So you're thinking about, you're pausing on words and phrases that you're reading. Give them your attention. And as you're reading, you'll notice this, and I don't know how to explain it any other way. Tell me if you've had this happen. When you're reading it, there's sometimes a word or a phrase stands out to you in a way that you just know it's like, hey, get your attention. There's something that just sort of reaches out and grabs you. And you sense that. Hang around that. Okay? Spend some time with that. That's happening for a reason. Holy Spirit is wanting to draw something. It's like drawing water from a deep well. He's wanting to draw something out for you there. Okay? So hang around it. So you go through it that second time. Make a mental note of those things that stand out to you. And here's something I encourage you to do if you don't do it. You know, grab you a little notepad or something and jot those phrases or those words down. Just write them down. Take another couple of minutes after reading through it a second time. And then go through it a third time. Right up to the word or phrase that touched you in some way. That you've made a note of. When you reach it, stop and repeat it to yourself several times. If you realize, like I said, you know, love is patient, love is kind. Love is kind, kind. Kind. Lord, kind. And start a conversation. Lord, what are you trying to say to me about this kindness? And listen. Now again, that's maybe something very simple. You start pondering the word kindness, and then all of a sudden, kind of like what we talked about on Sunday, somebody's face or image or a name comes to your mind that God says, this person needs this kindness. You see what you're doing? You're reflecting. Now He's calling for a response from you. Then say, how, Lord, do you want me to show this kindness to Him? And the only thing you listen, and again, you have thoughts coming in your mind. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever have thoughts flying to your mind that you know didn't come from you? Because you sit there and you think about things that I'm not thinking about it. Sometimes bad stuff. Yeah. There's signals going on all the time in the spiritual realm out there, both good and bad. And sometimes when you ask a question, start expecting an answer. Sometimes that person's name, and the Lord may say, hey, He may give you the freedom to say whatever way you want to show them kindness. Or He may say, call them. He may say, go by and visit them. That just may be what's impressed on you. Jot it down. He's calling for some sort of response from you. And once you've gotten that response, you've hung around that, you've gotten that response, you're choosing to respond to the Lord, you've pondered it, it's touched your heart, you've got your desires now has stirred, maybe in some other way He's spoken to you about something else that's going on in your life, dealing with some fears or whatever, and you're asking what He specifically may want to say to you, and you're listening to interact with Him, and you turn. When you turn and ask Him, Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? And like I said, you begin to turn this now into conversation with Him. We've got to get this in our head. When Jesus was walking around in human flesh 2,000 years ago, there were a group of 12 guys that sat around with Him at night at a campfire, walked down the road with Him, you know, during the week, during the day, when they were going from place to place, and they were walking, and they were carrying on conversations. They were talking. They would say, you know, Jesus would start talking about something. Well, they would say, well, what about this? What about this? And then Jesus would answer them and they would continue on walking. Or they'd sit around the campfire at night and they would maybe be eating and they'd start interacting. And we read that stuff and we think, oh, that would be so cool to have been back there to be able to talk with Jesus. Listen, He is more present in you and me right now than He was with those guys back then sitting beside them. He didn't go mute when He went back to heaven. He is still speaking by His Spirit. He is within. He wants to carry on conversation. It's just that we in our lives have not put ourselves in the position to learn how to interact and commune with Him. He loves to carry on conversation. And a lot of times it's those things that He says to us, they come out into our minds, thoughts that He places within our minds, that He speaks to us to impress us to do something, say something, give something, share something, stop, don't do something. I mean, a lot of He is there. He wants to carry on these conversations with us. And so we interact with Him. And you write down what He's saying. And then once you've made that response, you know, then sit there and rest and enjoy the fire. Because when this happens right here, you start reflecting and you start realizing He's speaking. You then begin to be consciously aware He's here with me. He's all around me. He is within me. And I just want to sit here and enjoy this moment with Him. I don't have to do anything. He doesn't have to do anything. We're just enjoying each other's company. Period. Just enjoying it. Take that example back to 2,000 years ago. Not everything that Jesus talked about was written down by the disciples. There were a lot of things that Jesus talked about with James and Peter and John. A lot of things when they were sitting on a boat fishing. And they were just talking about normal everyday stuff. Just like us. And sometimes when they would carry on conversation with each other, just like it is when anybody is out fishing or doing something like that, there's always these pauses and breaks and you're just enjoying the moment and you're just there together. And I can't help but wonder those guys when things would begin to go through their mind about who was sitting beside them on the boat. Who was sitting there with the fishing rod? Who was sitting there helping him throw the net out? Or just kick back, laying there and enjoying the sunshine on his face as they would look at him, realizing who he was, but that he was enjoying just as much as being with them as they were enjoying being with him. And nobody was having to say a word. They just enjoyed his company and he enjoyed theirs. It's no different now. Think about this. God has said, of all the places in the universe I could choose to dwell and hang out in, you are the place that I've chosen above all others to be in. You are where I want to be at. And I just want to be with you because I enjoy you. Yes, God enjoys us that much and He wants us to learn how to enjoy His company. And so we begin to interact with Him. So just rest. Be silent. Be still for a few minutes and quiet after that. And then you go out in response to what He has said to you. And again, you can take that same passage of Scripture that you've read there. Go through it again in a couple of days, whatever, if you sit down and take it. And again, don't make this a legalistic thing. Don't say 5 o'clock every day, now I'm going to do this for 20 minutes. But sit down and practice it. And I guarantee you, the next time you go through that, it's going to be something different you're going to see. In fact, sometimes the same word or phrase that you saw this time, you may see it again in a month or two, and it's going to say something completely different to you. There's going to have some significant. Don't think, oh, I've mined this thing as deep as it can go. Because you haven't. There's other things that He will want to say to you and want to interact with you through as He did this. Now I'll give you an example. And sometimes the Lord will take things that you read. Maybe you're reading in a book or something like that. You're reading about something and somebody says something that just jumps out at you and you know, wow, that's powerful, that's good. That's for me. And then He will take that, and as you're practicing this, He will superimpose it over that and said, now, here, I'm interjecting something here over what you read over here to show you something. Yesterday, I was reading a little book by Robert Farrar Capon, and he made a statement in it, and I could just too good. I couldn't help but write it down. I posted it on my Facebook page. But he said this. Let me get to it. And I want you to show you how this works. He said this. He said, Jesus, we believe, is the Word of God who makes all things for His Father's glory to begin with, and who becomes incarnate in our flesh to restore all things to end with. Accordingly, Jesus saves our past in two paradoxical but delicious flavors. Exactly as it was in ourselves with all of its tackiness and tawdriness, and exactly as it has always been in all its glory as He has held it from the foundation of the world. In short, He takes all our sins and follies into Himself in His death on the cross, and He re-members them, dash, He puts them all back together gloriously in the resurrection, or the reconciliation of His resurrection. Like the lost sheep, we may have been lost in ourselves, but from the start, we have always been found in Him. And I read that, and I went through, I read it several times, and I started hanging around some things in here. And as I started looking at the latter part of that, the phrase about Him taking all of my sins and all of my follies into Himself and His death on the cross, and then He remembers them, and He puts them all back together gloriously in the reconciliation of His resurrection. I hung around with that phrase all afternoon yesterday. Well, last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. I could not go back to sleep. So I said, okay, we're going to be talking about Lectio Divina tomorrow night, so I'm going to practice a little bit while I'm lying here in bed with nothing else to do. So I took 23rd Psalm, and I just started out with the first sentence. The Lord Yahweh is my shepherd. I laid there and thought about that for a minute. Yahweh is my. And when I got to the Yahweh is my, I started thinking about all the things that the Scripture says He is. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He's my holiness. He's my perfection. He's all of these things. And then, it just like, boom! He is not just the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, but He is my Alpha and Omega, my beginning and my end. If He is my beginning and He is my end, guess what else He is? He's everything in between it. Which means, just what Capon said, all of my tawdriness and all of the flaws, all of the broken things, it's as if they have never, ever happened. Why? Because He is my beginning and He is my end. He's the same here as He is here. Absolutely perfect, and He is that for me. And He, it's as if in the in-between space from beginning to end, it's as if nothing ever was broken. And that's reality. It's just like the ball I showed Sunday. We see the crinkles and all that, but in His hand it's all reconciled and fixed in His resurrection. Now I'm sitting there thinking, I was about to explode laying there in the bed. Because I was thinking, holy cow! Now think about this. He fixed it all before it ever got broken. Not only is He my Alpha and Omega, He was Adam's Alpha and Omega. When you look at what Christ has done and the completion of it, it's as if Adam never fell. As if there was never a time when man left God. Because it's all come full circle in Christ. He has repaired, He's restored, He's fixed it all. That's reality. And we're seeing that worked out in time and space now. But it's already a done deal. When I get before Him and you get before Him, I'm going to stand before Him lily white, lily clean. There's not going to be any, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Because there ain't any, why did you do this or why did you do that? Because why? Because that doesn't exist. It's all been forgiven and freed and taken care of. So you see, I'm laying there, and again, all I did was start with that. And then He brought something I read, brought it back to mind because that was something I needed to hear right then. So, one, for me, that I could be blessed in that. And I went on with some other things in there. But also to share with you, this is how He communes with us. This is how He deals with us when He interacts with us. And so you start taking these passages and take some things and begin to just hang around with them and let Him begin to speak to you and love on you. I mean, Jesus took a principle of who He is and then turned it around and said, yeah, I'm that, but I am that for you. For you. And if I can view life the way He views me and views the reality of what really is, rather than me focusing on all the gnarly, broken, bad, ugly parts of me, of what I see, or I can be focused on that where I've fallen flat on my face, or I've sinned, or I've done things that I'm ashamed of, or whatever, I can look at those things, or I can choose to look at what reality is from what He's done. Because that's the truth. It's fixed. You know what that does? It frees me to enjoy life. It frees me to live. It really does. Frees you, frees us. We're free people to live. So I want to encourage you. Take some time this week. Even if it's a couple of times this week, find yourself some silence where you can be alone. Take your Bible with you. Find you a passage of Scripture. If it's the 23rd Psalm, take the 23rd Psalm. Colossians 3 is another good passage of Scripture. There's some good passages in there. But get you just some place that you've maybe been familiar with. Read through it. Spend a week. Spend 2 weeks with it. Whatever. And you know what you're going to find too, as you start doing this, you're going to be surprised how much of this you start memorizing and you don't even realize you're memorizing it. And when you're laying in bed, when you're driving down the road, this stuff's running through your mind. And the Holy Spirit can pull it up at a moment's notice when He wants to talk with you about something through it. It's there. You've put something in His hands that He's able to work with. All right, any questions?
About 10 years ago, I saw a film video in my church. It was something about John Eldridge, conversational mm-hmm. relationship with the Lord. And he said afterwards, you know, like, don't go. Like, sit in your group a little and talk about it, you know. And one girl turned to me and she said, what do you think of that? And I said, well, I said, how often would you talk to somebody that never talked back to you, you know? But that's a lot of people's experience, that they don't hear from God. You know, they have these prayer speeches and these prayer things, but they never really hear back from Him. And I think, how often would I talk to my father if he never talked back to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's cool. And it is very freeing.
Anything else?
But that's how He changes us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look in the mirror, what's it? We see how He changes us bit by bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we ourselves are not conscious of the changes.
Yeah.
Other people might be, but we're not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It just happens. All right. That's all I got. Be blessed. Enjoy your week.